Father, I thank you, as always. I always say it, that the entrance of your word brings light and understanding. So let it be for us today. Let that word speak to us. Let that word shine in our hearts. Let it make our path, you know, more perfect. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you all the praise, give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Today's lesson, the ordinances of heaven and dominion in the earth. Now, this goes right along with the shadows of the end series. I couldn't fit that part into a title along with this because they only give you so many characters to put there. But it's part of the shadows of the end series. And this takes us back. And you know, and some of you may even be tired of hearing me say it, but don't get tired. It's what the Lord is doing. Taking us back to what his intentions were from the beginning, you know, to give us that dominion. But by he's doing it in stages, bringing us back into his image and his likeness so that we may have dominion. But today I'm going to take a lesson from the book of Job, chapter 38. In fact, in about three or four of these chapters, the Lord began to speak to Job. And someday, when you have a chance, you should read it. Maybe someday I might come back and do a full lesson on some of these chapters. But today I'm just going to take some part of it. You know, God began to speak to Job in chapter 38. And for the next three or four straight chapters, I was just talking to him, challenging him on so many things. And I love this book. I mean, there's so many revelation that the Lord has given me out of this chapter 38 and 39 of Job. You know, one of them I'm going to speak about today. Hallelujah. I'm going to start this one, and it's coming out of verse 33 of Job 38. Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? And canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? Now, let me set the stage for this in case, you know, not too many people would love to read the book of Job. It's just ignored, I think. But in case you are not familiar with this challenge between God and Job, let me just say a lot of things been going on in the life of Job. Many people know that part of the story. And at this point, God is going to step in to this back and forth that's been going on between Job and his friends and so on and so forth. And the Lord is going to speak to Job and say, look, why in the world are you questioning me? You know, do you know all these things? Where were you when I did all these things? That's what the Lord is saying here. You know, so in fact, the Lord started from, you know, in the beginning of the chapter, he said, look, the Lord asked Job a question. He said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? I mean, it's like, you know, and that's exactly what we sound to the Lord like anytime we try to challenge the Lord on, you know, why is he doing what he's doing? And he's like, I mean, who is this? Darkness counsel by words without knowledge? I mean, can we speak to our maker? Can we find fault with our maker? You know, can the clay say to the potter, why hast thou made me thus? I mean, can we do all these things? So anyway, God began to challenge. He said, look, gird up now thy loins like a man. You know, you think you know stuff? All right. You know, tell me some stuff. I will demand of you an answer thou me. You know, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you know it, you know. And then begin to ask him, who laid the measures of the earth, the foundation and all? You know, tell me. I mean, where was the line stretched out upon it? You know, where are the foundations fasting? Who laid the cornerstone? Who laid the cornerstone? Who did all these things? Where were you when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Where were you? Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, the sons of God were shouting for joy even before the world began. These are not angels, folks. You know, you can read in the book of Hebrews, the first couple of chapters. To which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, sit thou at my right hand, this day have I begun. Angels are not sons of God. These are sons of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And Job wasn't even there. And these sons of God themselves, they were not there, but they were there because their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the world began. We were with him even before the world was made. Hallelujah. He knew about us. You know, David said, look, all my stuff, members were written in his book even before I was fashioned. He knew everything. We're there with him. Praise God. And God is asking him, where were you when all these things happened? Who shut up the seas, the doors? I mean, who set the border of his seas? You know, here's where, how far you're going to go. Your proud waters will not go this far. I mean, who gathered up the waters that were above and beneath, put a firmament there and declared the dry land to appear? Who did all these things? Yeah, I'm putting my own there. And God asked him so many things, you know. So finally he said, look, hast thou commanded the morning since thy days and caused the dayspring to know his place? Well, you know, there was a point in time that I read this verse and I said, does it mean that we can actually command the morning? Does it mean that you can actually, you know, cause the dayspring to know its place? You see, because, you know, the questions that God is asking Job here, by he asking Job these questions, it actually tells us that these things can happen, but Job just didn't know how. I began to think, I said, wow, commanding the morning, you know, and one of the scriptures when we started this room, Psalm 110 verse 3, you know, which I've quoted time and time again, you know, the womb of the morning, commanding the morning, and so forth. Some of it comes from this verse right here. Commanding the morning, the womb of the morning, when the day is pregnant, you know, don't leave it to chance. Command it how it's going to happen and what thing, good things is going to bring out for you. We've talked about this multiple times. And the Lord said, look, hast thou commanded the morning since thy days? I mean, can you tell the day spring what to do? And so on and so forth. And I say, yes, yes, Lord. One time God said to Ezekiel, can these bones live again? And Ezekiel said, well, yes, but you are the one that knows how. Well, by God asking people many questions in the Bible, because the answer to that question that he asked Ezekiel was that the bones could live, and that Ezekiel was the one that was going to do it. You know, so by God asking Job these questions too, we see that actually these things can be done if we figure out how to do it. And that's what I'm going to get into today. So God said so many other things, you know, but let me go straight to verse 33 because I want to make this brief, you know. And here's what he said in verse 33. Many things, canst thou bind the sweet influences of the Pleiades, starting from verse 31. I mean, these constellations that are out there, even the wicked spirits in the spirit of darkness, they try to figure these things out, you know, because they know that, you know, heaven rules over the earth. They know that. They know that the ordinances of heaven, if you know how to set them just right, you can set their influence upon the earth. They know that. But the sons of God don't know these things. But we should know these things. Can you bind the sweet influences of Pleiades or the bands of Orion? I mean, can you stop them from going in their circle around the heavens like the Lord placed these constellations and these comets out there? I mean, and these planets out there. Can you make it happen? Can you stop them in their path? Can you do these things? Can you bring forth Mars or Earth in his season? I'm not going to get into that today. Or gather Taurus with his sons. Do you know the ordinances of heaven? This is the one I'm getting to today. The ordinances of heaven. And can you set their dominion upon the earth? Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me put it to you this way. There is, in the kingdom of heaven, nothing happens except there is an unction from God. And it's called an ordinance of heaven. You know, all they do is just wait on the Lord, you know, in the spirit realm, and they move according to what the Lord says. Everything is absolute order, absolute precision. There's nothing out of place. But when God says something, then everything goes into operation, like go into movement, you know, and so forth. And I've been teaching it in our faith rooms that, look, when you know how to use the word of God, you can actually cause the angels also to go into operation. Psalm 103 verse 20 is one of my favorite verses when I deal on that subject. Because we're told that the angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, they hearken to the voice of his word. And that tells us that, you know, when they hear God's word, that's the only thing that angels respond to. They don't respond, you know, you can command the angels all you want. They're not going to do anything. They have their marching orders, and that's from the Lord. You know, but when you speak what God already said, it's like God saying it. Because they know God's word. And when they hear that, when you put a voice to God's word and it comes out of your mouth, those angels, they go, God showed that to me one time. They go into operation, you know, and they will do stuff on your behalf when you speak what God already said. Not what you think. They don't respond to what we think. They don't respond to what we say. You know, one time, you know, these people, Joshua and everybody, they said, look, I mean, Joshua was a man of war. And he saw a man that had a drawn sword. And he asked him, he said, look, are you come out here to be with us or against us? Because if you are here against us, I'm going to engage right now. Let's find out. But this Joshua man, he was a no-nonsense kind of guy. You know, Moses was pillar of fire and all of this and the rod and so on. Joshua was the sword. You know, he could fight anybody, he would tear things down. You know, so look, your sword that you have in your hand, is it for us or against us? And the man said, look, I am not here either for you or against you. I'm here as a captain of the Lord's host. He had his own agenda. You know, this is how the angels of God operate. They have their marching orders. I'm not for you. He said, no. Joshua asked him two questions. Are you for us or against our enemies? You know, and he said, no. No to both. I am here as a captain of the Lord's host. Neither for you nor for your enemy, but I'm here on the Lord's agenda. Now, that agenda, if you align with it, yeah, it'll be to your benefit. But I'm here to carry out some orders. I'm the captain of the Lord's host. I'm going to carry out the orders of the Lord. And so when we look at those things, we begin to understand, you know, that look, it's not God who's going to be on our side. Even though we say God is on our side and so forth, yeah, that's just using human language. It's really us aligning with God, what God already said. You know, and then it looks as if God's on your side. But it is really you that will be on God's side. Because this world, this universe, anything you can think about is God. God is the umpire. The field is his. The ball is his. The rules are his. The players are his. Everything is his. And if you don't like it, this is what I tell people. I say, if you don't like the way things are in this universe, that God is, you know, all in all, and he owns everything. If you don't like it, then you can move to another universe. But in this universe, the Lord is king. And hallelujah. Now, God's not responsible for all the evil. That's a choice that we brought upon ourselves. But what if you understand how things operate, which is what I'm going to bring out very point blank today, in God's kingdom, heaven's rule. And if you understand the, you know, things happen in heaven first, before they happen here upon the earth, that the Lamb was slain in the heavens even before he came down to the earth. Your names were written in heaven. Jesus told the disciples, your names were written in heaven before you were even born. That's what you should rejoice about. Told them that in Luke chapter 10. You know, and many other things, you know, that we see that these things happened in the heavens, you know, first, before they even happen on the earth. Now, when we see it on the earth, it looks as if it's happening on the earth first. But, you know, the whole thing is like a circle because God is eternal. When you are on a straight line, then for you, something is in front. But for God, because God is eternal, it's like a circle. It's neither in front nor behind. It's a circle. And it's an endless circle. I mean, you can see the thing that appears to be behind is already in front. But that's how he is. But for us, we're on a straight line. And today, we're looking forward to tomorrow. and the next year and so on and so forth. Because we're on a straight line. For God, it's a circle. It, you know, the, what's in front is already past. It's already behind it. It's already finished what he hasn't even started. You know, so I read that to you 2 days ago in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, you know, verse 14 and 15. You know, what has yet to be has already been. That's with the Lord. You know, so the ordinances of heaven, if we can understand how it works, you know, and then you can cause their influence to happen upon the earth. So basically, here is the lesson for today. Get yourself in line with heaven. And then you can see the influence upon the earth. Actions have consequences. Actions and reactions and all these things. When you align yourself with heaven, things fall into place for you upon the earth. You know, now it will look to you as though you are the one that's making it happen, but it's because God already said so. It's like when Jesus said, look, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. It's because he was already bound in heaven first. Then the Lord showed it to you that you can do it, then you'll do it. And he's already sanctioned. See, when we speak what God already spoke, and I've taught this multiple times, this is the quickest way for you to get from where you are to where you want to be, is say it what God already said. If we say what God already said, then it's a done deal. Because as far as God is concerned, it's already done. It was done before it even started. You know, that's how God operates. And ladies and gentlemen, until we understand that, we'll be struggling with many things. But when you understand that before God started anything, he already finished it, then you will know that, in fact, you don't even have to call him author and finisher. You can call him finisher and starter. You know, he will finish the thing first before he even starts it. Already done. You know, done. And then at the end, he just let it play out. And that's why God can tell you accurately what will happen. He doesn't need to predict anything. He foretells because he's already seen it. It's already done. He knows exactly how it is. And that's why he can also guarantee his promises, because he already knows the end from the beginning. He already made it happen. And he can do all these things. Now, how do we get this kind of influence and this kind of power we got, that we can, you know, command the ordinances of heaven and cause them to bring things to pass upon the earth? That's what today's lesson is. Do you know the ordinances of heaven? Can you set the dominion on the earth? Or remember, dominion upon the earth was what God wanted Adam to have. Now, God did not want Adam. God didn't say anything to Adam about heaven, ladies and gentlemen. Never said anything to Adam about heaven. You know, and every time I say that, some people wonder, why are you saying like that? Well, it is the truth. It's in the scriptures. God wasn't speaking to Adam about heaven at all. Here's what he said to him. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea. That's not in heaven. Over the fowl of the air. That's not in heaven. Over the cattle. That's not in heaven. And over all the earth. That's not heaven. And over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that's not heaven. You know, so God created man in his image. The image of him created him. Male and female created them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, I'm reading Genesis 1, 26 to 28, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, not replenish heaven, and subdue it, not subdue heaven, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth, not upon heaven, but upon the earth. You know, so the blessing that God put upon Adam was for him to have dominion over the earth. But God ordered it. You know, and we're told in Psalm 115, we're told that the heaven of heavens belong to the Lord. Right? But the earth has he given unto the sons of men. And if we know how to walk the ordinances of heaven, then we begin to set their dominion upon the earth. Read again, Psalm 115 and verse 16. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, you know, but the earth are they given to the children of man, you know, and, but once we figure out how the ordinances of heaven operates, then we can begin to have dominion. Look, not a single word out of this Bible will drop without being fulfilled. Jesus said so himself. And if God said some people must have dominion, and people have not actually entered into that full dominion, then it must happen. You know, being that God said so, seeing that God said so, and seeing that there remained it to be done, that means it must be done. And we are, since we are so close to the end, we can't look any further. But this, it is come upon us, the ends of the world, and we must get into this place of dominion. We absolutely must. But let me tell you how it happens. This is how it happens. It's really very simple. We got to come into his image. We got to come into his likeness. How do we come into his image? Well, you know, we look at what Christ, who was in his perfect image, did. We covered the image the other day. What did he do? Well, he came in the image of God. He came to represent, he came to do everything that the Father said. And here's how Jesus put it out to us. I say, and you do. End of story. You know, the reason that we are struggling with so many things is we don't understand this simple principle. Let me read it to you in John chapter 14. And we're going to pick it up from verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me, listen to this, shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. You know, so now one of them asked him, why is it that you manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and we will make our abode with him. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is where I often say, there is a line that you must cross. I've mentioned this multiple times, and I'm going to say it again. There's a line that you must cross that's going to make God stand up and come after you. Now, most of the time, we're the one chasing after God, you know. But when you cross a certain line, it's a good line, but it's a price that where you say absolutely what he says goes. When you cross that line, you know, with everything he says you do, because you say, look, if a man loves me, you keep my commandment. What I say you will do, you do. If you do that, you say, I will love him. My Father will love him. And we'll come unto him and make our abode with him. Now, ladies and gentlemen, some of you may have heard this before, but if you haven't heard it, let me say it again. John 3:16 is different from Romans 8:28, the love that is described in those two verses. In John 3:16, the love that is described, say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's fine. But in Romans 8 and 28, we are told that we know, Paul said, that was his testimony. Do you know? He said, we know that God makes everything work together. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, not to them that God loves, you know, but to them that love God. There's a difference between, you know, God loves the whole world, but there is a reciprocal love from God when somebody truly loves the Lord and does his commandments. This is what Jesus is saying in these three verses here. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And when you do that, I'm going to love you back. Are you saying he didn't love you before? But this is a differentiated kind of love. This is the love that moves heaven. This is how we move and do set ordinances of heaven. The most important ordinance of heaven is for us to love the Lord our God. That's it. But when you love him, his love will constrain you to do his commandments. This is how God determines the law. You can say all you want that I love God and so on. Fine. The way it is measured in heaven's books is, are you doing his commandments? It's that simple. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. Are you keeping his words? It's not just the commandment that say, thou shalt do this, thou shalt not do that, thou shalt do this, that. Jesus is expounding it further. First, he said commandments, and then he brought it down and said, my words, just in case you are thinking it's some commandment in the Old Testament. No. All of his words. If you can keep his word because you love him, he said, I will love you. I will come to you. My father and I, we will make our abode with him. Now, why is he not doing that to everybody? Well, in Revelation 3 and 20, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And people say, oh, well, open your heart to Jesus and let him come in. That was not a message to unbelievers. It was right into the church. You know, so, and here Jesus is saying, look, you know, yes, I love everybody and so on and so forth. There's a differentiated kind of love to the person that gives their whole attention to my words. You know, the word of God is so important. This is the man to whom I will look, you know, the one that trembles at my word. Those are the ones that God will that will actually cause God to respond in kind. You tremble at his word. His word said something, and, you know, as far as you are concerned, that's it. Because God said it, that's it. You know, absolutely, that's it. Isaiah chapter 66, verses 1 and 2. He said, look, heaven is my throne, but the earth is my footstool. What else will you build of me? I own all these things. Where is the place of my rest? All those things have my hands made, and all those things have been, whether it's heaven, whether it's the earth, or everything, my hands have made them. And they have been from of old and so forth. But this is the man to whom I will look. This is the thing that's going to get my attention. Not just heaven, not just the earth, but there's a person that can get my attention. This person that crosses the line will cause me to stand up. You know, when you are moving towards God, Enoch was pursuing after God, he came to a point where he crossed the line. And when you cross that line, God will stand up and pull you in. That's it. You know, because, you know, God waits for us, you know, to see how far we are willing to go. You know, how far you're willing to go. If you're willing to go all the way, are you all in? If you're willing to go all the way and cross that line, then he will stand up. No more sitting down. He's going to stand up now and come after you. You were coming after him first. Now he's going to come after you. Because the line that you crossed was the line that says, I will love the Lord my God with all my heart. And that love constrains me to keep his words. Everything that he said. And it's so hard for us to do that, ladies and gentlemen. You may think it's that simple. It's not simple. It's very hard. In fact, Jesus said, you know, I'm going here. Let me finish this verse. This is the man to whom I will look, even him that's of a contrite spirit, poor, that's humble, contrite spirit, and trembles at my word. My word says something, and that's it. This man just takes it, and he will do it, just like my word says. This is the one that will get my attention, you know. So, this is so important for us to understand what God is saying here. If we can, you know, Jesus said something when he was talking to the Jews. He said, I was telling you that, look, it's not as easy as we think. You know, you say, well, you know, love the Lord. Yeah, I love the Lord. No, it's not that simple. The ultimate is what we are talking about here today. And here's how Jesus put it in John 8 and verse 51. And there's a song we used to sing out of that. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. And now, it was very hard for even the people in those days to understand that. You know, and they said, look, Abraham is dead, the prophets are dead, and all of these people, which they thought in their heart, they kept God saying, and they are dead. And who do you make yourself to be? And saying, if they keep my saying, they will not see death. And Jesus said it again, you know, said it again to them. You know, if a man keep my saying, shall never taste of death. But that's all his words. This is why it's not as simple as you think, but it's not impossible either. But one time they told Jesus, well, who then can be saved? And Jesus said, well, you may think it's hard, but with God, all things are possible. You know, so, you know, keep his words. Every word of God. We can't pick and choose. Paul told Timothy, look, don't do anything by partiality in the word of God. I like this one. I don't like that one. I don't believe that one. This is the way I believe. Well, that one doesn't matter, and so on. Well, all this, it doesn't matter, equates to not keeping his words. If you can keep all his words, you shall never taste of death. Never. And a lot of us have tried to keep all his words, but we fail in one area or the other. You know, but if you can keep all his words, you will never taste of death. You know, when the word says you must not have offense, when the word says you must not be bitter, when the word says you must not be angry without a cause, when the word says, look, you must not do this, you must not do that. And then when the word also tells you some other things to do, you know, do these things in my name, you know, share my love to others, and so on and so forth. The word of God is not just about do's and don'ts, but everything that's in his word. If you are able to keep all of it, then you set yourself apart. And that's what was so different about the Christ. Christ was 100% obedient to the Father. In fact, even though he was the very God in human flesh, you know, in that role as man, son of man, he completely submitted himself to the Father. And he would not do anything until the Father showed it to him. And even though it looked silly, he would do it anyway. One day, you know, a blind man came to the Lord and he was about to be healed. And the Father showed him something different. Take him out of the city before you heal him. And Jesus did exactly that. Took the man out of the city before he healed him. He could have healed him right there and then. But you see, every action that Jesus took, when you stand back and, why did he do that? Well, that's because of what the Father showed him. And he didn't argue with the Father. Why do we have to take, look, just do it. You know, there was a man called Philip, went down to Samaria to preach the gospel. This Philip was a deacon, he was supposed to serve tables. But there was tremendous revival, Acts chapter 8, you can read all about it. Talked about it multiple times. Tremendous revival in that city. And in the midst of that city, people crying out, devils crying out, people bringing their curious works, being delivered, saved, and so forth. Even the apostles, you know, were sent, you know, they called for them. Come and pray for these people to receive the Holy Ghost. I mean, incredible things happening. And in the midst of all of that, the Spirit of the Lord said to Philip, get away from all of it and go down into the bush, to the desert. You know, so, you know, any of us today would have said, nah, that's the devil trying to get me away from where the action is at. Right here, things are going on. The Lord is doing great things. The Lord is moving. The Lord is using me mightily. Why should I go into the wilderness? To do what? But Philip, he obeyed. He just got up and went. These people knew when the Spirit of God spoke. They knew it. And he just got up and he went. He left all that. I mean, all that revival that was happening, and he was the one right in the middle of it, he left it and began to go into an unknown wilderness. Who are you going to go preach to in the wilderness? I mean, God, all these things are happening. Stay right here. Yeah, but he obeyed the voice of God. And of course, the rest of the story, he met the eunuch from Ethiopia. He was able to get the man converted and everything. That's how the gospel came to Africa. This man took the gospel back. And at the end of it, the Lord was pleased with him. He gave him supernatural transportation. The Spirit of the Lord caught Philip up after they came out of the water, baptizing this man, took him, landed him someplace else. Now, except for one time when they were all in the boat, and the Bible says the boat was immediately on the other side, none of the other apostles can even boast that they had individual supernatural transportation. But this man did, Philip. He obeyed the word. The Holy Spirit told him to, and he did. Didn't question anything. And God is telling Job here, you questioning with me? Let me ask you, if you want to do question and answer 20 questions, well, here are 20 questions for you. Tell me this if you know it. You know, so, you know, this is how the ordinances of heaven works, folks. When we can align ourselves with the word of God, when we perfectly understand his will and are submissive to it, then you speak his word only. And whatever his word says, you do. It's that simple. We don't argue it. We don't think it. We don't justify ourselves. We don't rationalize it. You know, but many of us are guilty of all the many of these things that I'm talking about. So people rationalize everything. I mean, sometimes we give honor to ourselves. Bible say, look, my honor is from God, not from man. If a man loves me and if a man will serve me, you know, let him follow me, you know, and so on. And he that serves me, my Father will honor. Many mighty men and women of God don't even keep this principle. John chapter 12, verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there also will my servant be. And if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Not the honor from men, but the honor from God. Now, when people want to take the honor from men instead, well, they've already violated this principle. And every time we violate the principles of God, it's harder and harder for us to command the ordinances of heaven. Because those ordinances only respond to those who are in perfect alignment. That's just the way it is. Now, if you somehow figure out, and this is what we need to be praying about as a result of hearing these things in this room. If you can somehow figure out how to be in perfect alignment with the word of God, in obedience to him, not just for what we want him to do for us, but what he wants us to do for him, whatever he says, you are in perfect alignment and you do it, then it's going to be a matter of you just say something and all of heaven will align behind it because you have already aligned with heaven. Now, if we know how to command the ordinances of heaven, then we'll bring to bear on earth the dominion thereof. That's what God was telling Job. But I'm telling us that we can't do it unless we come into that perfect image, that perfect likeness. What does it look like? Well, look at Christ. How did Christ do it? Perfect obedience. You know, which is why God highly exalted him. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 9. And we can do the same. If we can behave, respond to God, you know, like Christ did. As a matter of fact, who do we respond to now? Well, what the Father was to Christ is what the Holy Spirit is with to us now. You know, the Holy Spirit is with you now as a governor to guide you, to give you instruction. And if he says and we do, well, how can we when we don't even know his voice? First, we must learn his voice. We must learn to discern the voice of the Lord among all the many voices. You know, there's the voice of reason. That's very subtle. People will reason everything away. Lord told you to do something, you will reason it away why you shouldn't do it. It's a very powerful force that distracts us from the glory of God. It's called the voice of reason. There are more, you know, visible voices like the voice of unbelief, the voice of doubt, and all of those things. Those are more visible. But this voice of reason is very subtle. The Lord will tell you something and you reason it away. Reason it away. Well, every time we do that, it eats away at our leverage to make heaven respond. You know, but if we can figure out a way to understand his voice and to know that when he says we do, no questions asked, then we get into the place like we begin to look like the Christ. Now you can walk on water. You know, now you can command the seas and the elements and all of these things. Because you are in perfect alignment with the Father. For us now, we need to be in perfect alignment with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit says, you do. And it's in simple things. It starts with simple things. We have to practice the presence of the Holy Spirit. Practice the presence of the Lord. Holy Spirit tell you something. And be sure you figure out his voice. Some people start out, they don't know his voice. You know, Gideon didn't know the voice of the Lord. And the Lord sent an angel to him. He challenged it. It's okay, because he didn't know. God didn't mind. He said, well, if it is the Lord speaking, well, let the sponge be wet and the whole ground dry. And he did. Okay. Then next thing he said, okay, well, maybe the sponge soaked up all the water around it. Okay, fine. I'll do it the other way around. Let all the ground around it be wet and let the sponge be dry. And it happened. I said, oh, wow. Now I know it has to be God. Then from that point on, he knew it was God. And after that, I say, and the Lord said to Gideon, and the Lord said to Gideon, and the Lord said to Gideon. And he didn't doubt the word of the Lord anymore. Same thing with Samuel. When he was a young boy, altar boy, he didn't know the voice of God. God called him and ran to Eli. God called him again and ran to Eli. Eli said, no, I didn't call you, go back to sleep. After a few times, Eli realizes it must be God calling this young man. So he tells him, next time he calls you, here's what you're going to do. And he taught him, you know, how to hear the voice of God and how to make himself available to what God wants to say. And God was patient. God didn't tell him anything until, you know, he understood God's voice. God just called him. And this is the same thing with us today. God will call you if you don't respond. He'll call you again if you don't respond. He won't tell you anything until you respond, until you understand it. You know, so, and then after that, God said to Samuel. He figured it out. Same thing with Moses. On Mount Horeb, Exodus chapter 3. You know, the Lord appeared in the burning bush. But the Lord didn't tell him really anything. He just showed him the sight. And waited to see his reaction. And Moses could have said, wow. Could have run off, told his wife, told Jethro, to everybody. That I saw the pillar of fire. I mean, the glory. Well, he would not call it pillar. He didn't know it was pillar yet. But I saw a burning bush. I was great. I don't know. I saw this sight. And he would just run off and he would not have had the experience that God was using that thing to draw him into. So when God says something, it's to draw us in. When he shows us something, it's to draw us in. And until Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush is burning, but it's not consumed. Now, when he turned aside, then God spoke to him. See, so. But eventually, he figured out it was the voice of God. In fact, initially, he asked God, well, who shall I say sent me? Who did this and that? And so on and so forth. Finally, he figured it out. And when he figured it out, from that point on, he didn't question God anymore. He just did it. He would just say, you know, the Lord said, the Lord said, the Lord said, you know, and so on. And the Lord revealed incredible things to him. Incredible things, you know, and so on. So, the lesson today is this. The things that we want to have dominion over on the earth, they are subject to the ordinances of heaven. But in order for us to know how to make those to work, we ourselves must align ourselves with the word of God upon the earth. It's like a circle. You know, God already finished it, but he doesn't show it to us until we obey his word. Now, when we obey his word, Then he shows it to you and he tells you what to do, how to command that things to happen. And then you command it to happen and you think you are the one that did it. No, he already did it first and then he showed it to you. You know, and so it works like that. So our goal now and our prayer is, Lord, help me to come into the image of the Christ, a likeness of him, how he was 100% submitted to the Father, that I may keep every word of God. When we're able to do that, things will just fall at our footsteps, you know. Now, all the time that Jesus was spending praying, when he was early in the morning, he would go to the mountain and pray. You know, he was praying as a man. He wasn't praying as God. God doesn't need to pray. He was praying as a man because he had to subdue his mind. He had to train his mind. And he was there always praying for the strength of the Father to help him to do his will. I come to do thy will, O God. And he was consumed with it, always praying about it. And this is the same that we must do. We need to spend more time praying for strength. Strength comes from understanding his will. When we understand his will, we pray for the strength to do it. If we're able to do it, Bible says understanding what the will of the Lord is. Well, if you understand it, and he gives you the strength to, you ask him for strength, he gives you the strength to do it. And if you can do that consistently, all other things will line up. Now you get to the point where you can then say, you know, there shall be no rain except by my word. Because he said, you know, Elijah, he came out of nowhere and said, you know, here is the word of the Lord before whom I stand. He's already stood before the Lord. He's already aligned himself with God's word. God already showed him what he's going to do. Now he can exercise dominion. He now can come and say, look, I'm going to shut up heaven, lock it up, put the keys in my pocket. I'm going to walk away. And there will be no rain except by my word. Ladies and gentlemen, that is dominion. He didn't even say, well, you know, except by the word of the Lord. But we already know that's it. You know, he said, look, before whom I stand. I was already standing before the Lord. The Lord already showed it to me. And I'm going to tell you now, this is in my hand. You're not going to have any rain until I say so. Now, that is dominion. That is dominion. You send 50 people to capture him and you call him, thou man of God, come down from the mountain. The king wants to see you. And the man says, look, if I be a man of God, let fire come from heaven and consume you and your 50. And the heavens open up, fire come down. That is dominion. Now, God doesn't want us to do that anymore. Jesus said, look, well, I know you can do that, but we don't do that anymore. But I'm just showing you how these things operate, that we can do these things. You know, Jesus himself, he didn't call down fire on anybody. He could have done it, but he didn't do it. The things that he did were actually to turn the lives of people around from their bondage and bring deliverance to them. But he also demonstrated dominion. He demonstrated dominion over the seas, over the waves, you know, walk on water. You know, he even demonstrated dominion over food. You bring the food into his hands, just a little boy's lunch. He can bless it, and they can use it to feed thousands. That is dominion. And why were these people able to do these things? Because they aligned themselves with God. That's the way the ordinances of heaven work. So let me wrap up this lesson today and say this, that the way to understanding the ordinances of heaven is through obedience to God's word. 100% obedience. Not we obey some, we don't obey some. Not we choose some and we don't choose some. I am not perfect in this either, but that's what I'm striving to do. God already made me know that that's the ultimate. There is no shortcut. There is no exemption. There's just no way around it. That's where we must get to. But we will get there. The reason I know we will get there is because it was already done before it started. That was what was already in his mind. These people, they're going to be in our image and our likeness. And then they'll have dominion. Well, they did for a while, then they failed. And then they lost it. But Jesus came to restore it. And because Jesus came to restore it, which is what we have been talking the last 2 or 3 days, then we will actually come there. We will come to the point where we can speak to the heavens. And whatever we say, you know, will happen upon the earth. Did not God even say this in the book of Isaiah? Did he not say the same thing in Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 11? Did he not say, thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his maker, ask me of things to come, and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. Did he not say that? I mean, how do you command the Lord? Well, you actually command the works of his hands. Hallelujah. You know, that's how you command the Lord. And we see that Joshua, I mean, this man of, I mean, Joshua had the faith and dominion over the sun, the moon, all these things. You can read the story in Joshua chapter 10. Let me read that story to us and let's leave it there for today. Let's read Joshua chapter 10. Let's take a look at, and keep this Isaiah 45 verse 11. Keep it in your mind. Let's read Joshua chapter 10 and, you know, verse 12. Then spake Joshua, listen to this. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in sight of Israel. Now, the scripture says Joshua spoke to the Lord. But what exactly did Joshua say? He didn't exactly speak to the Lord, because here's what he said. Son, I mean, the Lord is not the Son. Stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon, the moon is not the Lord. Stand thou still upon the valley of Ajalon. You know, but they are told that he spoke to the Lord. Why? Because the Lord already said, you know, this is how you do it. In order for you, when you are commanding the works of his hands, it's kind of like you are setting some ordinances. It's like you are speaking to the Lord, even though you are speaking to the works of his hands. When Joshua was speaking to the sun and speaking to the moon, we are told that he was speaking to the Lord. But he wasn't speaking to the Lord, really. He was speaking to the sun and the moon. But we are told that he was speaking to the Lord. Because the Lord said, concerning the works of my hands, the moon, the stars, they're the work of his hands. Command ye me. So when you command the sun and the moon, you're actually commanding the Lord. You know, but all you need to do is align yourself with God and then face the work of his hands. Then you have dominion. It's that simple, but it's not that simple. But the Holy Spirit will help us. And the sun stood still, the midst of heaven. Sun is in heaven. You know how to set it right. You can have dominion. When he caused the heavens to respond and the sun stood still, the moon stood still, he caused them to have dominion upon the earth. Then the influence, they had a longer day and so forth, which is really what he needed. He needed some more daylight to finish the battle. And he did that and everything responded. So ladies and gentlemen, let's get into the habit of asking the Holy Spirit to help us to align ourselves with the Word of God. To be 100% obedient. If we can be, you know, if you are truly have that obedience, that light is inside of you, it is the light that will do all these things. You know, Jesus said, it's the Father that is in me that doeth the works. You know, we don't really need to do anything. We just need to be in perfect alignment and the light shines. I mean, in fact, if you can be like that, there's no sickness that can stand before you. You just speak the word, just like Jesus. Speak the word, do whatever. Jesus didn't even have to go anywhere. He can speak the word here and somebody 100 miles away and get healed in the same hour. I mean, all these things. You can do all these things. That's dominion, folks. And it comes by us understanding how to command the ordinances of heaven. You can't do it unless you're in alignment with his word. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson today. More coming on dominion. The dominion that God wants us to have. God doesn't want us to have dominion over other people. Let me put that in right here. Dominion over other people, that's witchcraft. And God is against that. So people want to have dominion over people. That's not what God said. He said dominion over the earth and all these other things. Man was not supposed to have dominion over man, because each man was supposed to be in the image of God. You know. But God wanted us to have dominion over his works. Hallelujah. And on the other hand, none of these things shall have dominion over us. Hallelujah. None of these things shall have dominion over us. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Unrighteousness shall not have dominion over us. Sickness shall not have dominion over us. Poverty shall not have dominion over us. Depression shall not have dominion over us. Confusion shall not have dominion over us. I mean, all these negative things that are in the world shall not have dominion over us. But we will have dominion over them. The ordinances of heaven is what bring dominion in the earth. And to command those ordinances, we align ourselves with the word of God. Because it's only the word of God that can cause a shift in heaven. There is nothing that happens in heaven except there is an unction from God. And the unction is what brings the release. When the unction goes forth, you know, then everything else responds. You know, when God says, here's what I want to happen, yeah, everybody's jumping up trying to figure out who's going to do it. When God said, look, who's going to go down there and persuade Ahab to fall at Ramoth Gilead? Everybody jumped up. Even those that were not in line with, even spirits that were not in line with God, they even jumped up. Because when God gives the word, everybody wants to jump up and do it. When Jesus told Peter, go down to the lake and catch a fish, and you find a coin in his hand, in his mouth, and pay your tax and mine. There was a coin in that lake, and all the fish were struggling to be the one to swallow it. Because God spoke the word, Jesus spoke the word, that fish are looking for that coin. There's a coin somewhere in that thing. And that, you know, I'm going to be the one to get it. Because the master spoke. And they are struggling to get it, and one of them got it. That's it. You know, so look, anything that Jesus speaks, it's done. The same thing that God speaks is done. The Holy Spirit, who is now the representative of God for us now, when he speaks, we should know that it's also done. We align ourselves with him. We're being prepped. By aligning ourselves with him, we are being prepped to know how to command the ordinances of heaven. For the Holy Spirit will never speak anything that's contrary to his word. It will only speak the will of the Father. Now, I'm going to pray over the room. I'm going to leave it right there for today. That's going to be it for today. That's our lesson for today. In summary, the ordinances of heaven rule and have dominion over the earth. And by God asking Job these questions, we see that it's actually possible. If you can somehow figure out how to command the morning, then you can make sure the day will go right for you. If you can somehow figure out, you know, how to command the ordinances of heaven, then you can set their influence upon the earth. If you can, you know, cause the things that happen in the heaven to obey your voice, then the earth is nothing. And God said, can you lift up your voice to the heavens? Can you command the snow from the depths and everything to fall upon you? Can you show the thunder how the lightning should go and speak for it? Yeah, and all these things that God was asking, Job, yes, it can be done. But baby steps. Baby steps, ladies and gentlemen. Baby steps. First step, love the Lord thy God. How do you do it? Obey his word. It's that simple. If you love me, keep my commandments. And if you keep my commandments, I will love you and I will come unto you. And it is those that love God that all things work together for good for them. Not all things do not work together for good to everybody. God loves everybody. All things do not work together for good for everybody that God loves. No. But all things work together for good to those that love God. When you love God, God, that will cause a differentiated response from God. I will come to you. My Father and I will come to you. We'll make our abode with you. Not that he doesn't do that for everybody. You know, but for those who keep his words. Father, I pray over the room today in the name of the Lord Jesus. Help us to understand these things. Give us the grace to understand that your word is what holds all things together. And if we can just align ourselves with your word, then all things are possible unto us. Teach us, O Lord, these things that you are telling us today. Understanding the ordinances of heaven in order to bring dominion upon the earth, that we ourselves may yield ourselves to the point where the ordinances of heaven respond to us and we see the influence upon the earth. Thank you, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we give you, Lord, the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. And ladies and gentlemen, it's the same thing with the kingdom of heaven. Will order things aright upon the earth. I pray that we have understanding on all these things today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.